Nation. You're listening to the best of T-Bone and Tybus. They're not here, but they're still here. You see, they never let you down. The Fan.
Mike Greenberg from ESPN. He was talking about the 24-team playoff and why it's bad. Some obviously would point out with Mike Greenberg, he works for ESPN. ESPN, presumably, it's believed, does not want to go to a 24-team playoff. They want to stay at 16 or even go down to, or keep it at 12 or maybe go to 16 at worst.
Take it to 8.
I'm with you. I think most rational people are there too as college football fans. But here is what Mike Greenberg said about the problem with going to 24.
I will say this. I don't know what ESPN does and doesn't want, but what I can tell you with certainty is that the idea that good teams, championship-worthy teams, get left out of the playoff is a good thing, not a bad thing. If you put every single team that might win the championship into the playoff, you might just as well not play the regular season to begin with. If we live in a world where Ohio State and Michigan rest their starters for that game at the end of the season because they've got the potential of 5 playoff games still sitting in front of them, then college football, as we have known it, ceases to exist. So I don't have a vote in any of this. Obviously, other people do, and they'll make the decisions they make based on a lot of reasons that candidly have nothing to do with what's in the best interest of the game itself.
Well, he's not wrong on that aspect of it, but
there is no world where any coach from either one of these teams would sit day starters in that game. If that's the case, you can't be the coach. Like,
oh, I was going
to
say,
there's no way that they can't even hire you to be the coach.
Fire anyone who would ever rest any players for the OSU-Michigan game because we have playoff games to win.
That one matters. Just too, it Get matters too much.
Get out of here. Now, I don't blame Greeny because obviously he's not, you know, dyed in the wool in this rivalry. He doesn't understand it like that. His bigger point, though, that 2014 playoff is going to, by necessity, devalue the regular season is spot on. And I don't think I'm being hyperbolous when I say this. I have felt this way when I saw this 2014 playoff being kicked around. I mean, we all laughed at it when it came out that the Big Ten was like, yeah, 2014 playoff. We're all like, what are you talking about? 2014? Who wants that? Now you find out the ACC is saying they are good with it.
Everybody,
and you've got all these coaches
that,
saying they want it.
Money.
You got, yes, everyone's starting to align around this other than the SEC.
Which is funny because they also need that action too.
They need that money too. Right. I'm just saying, if it does get to a point where they go to a 2014 playoff, I don't think I'm being over the top here. I think that will be one of the biggest changes that's ever happened to any sports league in American history.
I told you, it's literally, you can't, the more you add to the end of the season, the more it takes away from the beginning. And
absolutely,
that's just what it is. And like, to be like, you'll see, to me personally, like, you'll see the same handful of teams, and then you'll realize, like, it's only like 5 teams every year that actually realistically can win it. Like, I don't know.
Like,
why
every year we kind of know that,
yeah,
and think
so
that.
I get it. People, like, we say people will hate it and people won't tune in. They'll definitely watch it because it's be nothing else to watch. You want to watch sports. If you're a fan of football, you're going to watch football no matter what, you know? So I think that that will be the case, but I just think it'll be some very one-sided games in those early on rounds. Like, if you're going 1 versus 24, it's like,
yeah, right.
It's because you should be,
well, they're not going to do 1 versus 24. They're going to have, like, because
the first 8 teams will have buys.
They'll have a buy, and then
we know
what,
9 versus 24.
Yeah, it'll be the same.
But to your point,
same thing.
If 24 pulls an upset, then it could be 1 versus 24, you know,
right?
What I mean, like, that could theoretically happen. But
I mean, college football is just going to be different, and I'm not one of those people that always think different is worse, but in this case, different will be worse, because to me, what's in the fabric of what college football is, like, I mean, not to tear open old wounds, but the fact, like, oh, what the hell? Ohio State went on the road in West Lafayette and got the doors beaten off them by Purdue. They're probably not a national championship contender anymore.
That won't even matter now.
They lost to Iowa. Oh, man, that's a real consequential loss. Not anymore. And the people that are for this are saying, like, oh, we're going to have more meaningful games. No, you're moving where the meaningful games are.
Absolutely.
You're just moving them to the end of the season, and you're devaluing the regular season of college football, which is what has made college football great since the beginning of college football.
That's a problem now. We ain't even at 24.
Right, yeah.
When I played, if you lost one game, it was like, right. Oh, well, season's over.
And then the people that are like, oh, yeah, well, like, when we expanded, we were able to get Miami in the playoff, and look what they did. They almost won the national championship. And like Greeny said, I don't need every team that's good enough to win the national championship to be in the playoff. Part of what college football should be is you woke up every Saturday and you played to the best of your ability. You didn't lose to SMU or Louisville when you shouldn't have, like Miami did.
No,
that should be a penalty where you don't get to compete for the national championship because there were two Saturdays where you decided not to get up and play. You shouldn't get to have a mulligan on games like that. That's not what college football is.
Well, I will add that for me, it's not just moving the meaningful games to the end of the season. It's now changing which games are meaningful, because like Ohio State and Michigan should have a ton of meaning on it, but so should Ohio State and Texas this year, right?
Right.
That Ohio State Texas game, if there is a 2014 playoff, is utterly meaningless other than just for pride. And so what you're now going to do is you're going to take the games of the fringe teams. Like, who would be down? I heard, I was listening to Bishop and Friends yesterday, and they were talking about how like, some of the matchups that you would have had in the playoffs would have been like Iowa and Miami would have been one of the matchups based on where everybody was ranked last year. And they said, ugh, gross game. And I'm like, yeah, gross game in the playoffs. Not a gross game for me as a college football fan who loves college football. If it's a regular season game, I'd be interested in that, because for both of those teams, if one of them loses that, that probably means they're not going to be as close to having a chance at the playoffs. Now what you're going to do is take even those type of regular season matchups that could be interesting or fun. Now you're going to take those and move it down the scale to like, ooh, I don't know. This 6-5 team has one game left and they're playing a 6-5 team. Could that be like, we're going to move the meter so far down that it's going to be Purdue and Northwestern for that final spot in the playoffs. I don't want to care about Purdue and Northwestern. If both of them have four losses, I don't care. I shouldn't have to care about the dregs of college football for playoff purposes. I like those games on their own, right? I like to watch weird college football games. I like to watch West Coast games at 11 o'clock at night that have no bearing on the playoffs. That's fine. But when it comes to the actual playoff games, I want them to be no doubt bangers. And instead, it feels like we were talking about that Drake album, where he's going to put not one, but he's putting three albums out. This is what it feels like the playoffs are. It's like, we don't know what's good. So here's all the teams. Good luck. Find three or four good games out of all this. I feel like that's how Drake's doing his songs. It's like, find three or four good songs out of these 25, 30 songs I'm going to release. That's what we're doing now with the playoffs, and it's stupid. I love college football. It's my favorite. It's that and basketball are my two favorite sports. But I mean, I prefer college football to the NFL. I grew up here. My NFL team was not a thing for me growing up. My NFL team was Ohio State. So like, I understand if people come from different places and don't get that. But for me as a lifelong Columbus resident, this has always been my number one thing. I will watch the Buckeyes if they play on Neptune in June. Like, I will watch the games, but that whether we will watch the games or not is different than if we should have to endure something that is now going to basically completely change the way college football has been viewed. That's why I said I think it's the biggest change one of the biggest changes we've ever seen in North American sports, pro or college. If they go to 24 teams, the best thing about college football to me is that the regular season matters. Baseball's regular season is largely irrelevant. You play 162 games. You can't tell me every one of those games is as important as the next one. They just aren't. NBA, NHL both play 82. Their regular seasons are not as relevant. Even in the NFL, where you only play 17, the regular season still got more impact. But you know you can have a three-game losing streak in the NFL and still make the playoffs and go on a run. You could never have, until now, you could never have a three-game losing streak in college football and go make the playoffs.
I don't want
or have a chance to win a national championship.
I just now don't you probably want would. College football to turn into the NBA. That's my biggest thing with all of these sports when you do things like this, is that if you start to diminish the regular season, like, ain't nobody going to pay attention to the playoff start.
No.
What's the why do I need to watch that? Like, well, I will because it's part of my job. But like, why do I need to do that? Like, It's all irrelevant because everybody's going to make the playoffs. There's the top 25 and 24 out of 25 is going to make the playoffs. So, like, why do I need to watch it?
To your point, if your optimistic take on this is, well, 24 teams, though, now everyone will make the playoffs. So that means there will be more Ohio State Bama games, not fewer. Are you out of your mind?
Fewer because
they're already talking about
how listening to Paul Feinbaum yesterday talk about he's interested to see if they I know they agreed to play the game, but he was like, if Kalen DeBoer goes 8-4 and they fire him and bring a new coach in, they're gonna be like,
change that game.
Take that game off the schedule.
Well, that's fair too. I guess what I'm saying though is like with a 2014 playoff, the argument then's gonna be, well, we can't risk all these guys getting hurt in these big, tough football games. We can't do that in the regular season. There's literally conversation. Greeny was talking about the other day about how Ohio State and Michigan, maybe someone will rest the starters in that game.
They better not.
I said I would fire any coach that would do that.
They better not.
And I don't think there's any chance that any coach that would coach at Ohio State or Michigan would ever think that that's right. You should never do that. If they do, they should be fired. But beyond that, there will be coaches who for sure will try to manage their rosters in other games. You're going to have more of those games, not fewer, that are irrelevant. Coaches are going to be hoping that they get games where, like last year, what did Ohio State do with Carnell Tate? They didn't rest him in the Michigan game. He played awesome in that game.
Imagine.
They did rest him in the couple games before that, though, because they knew what they had coming up. More of that will happen for sure.
It just doesn't seem right. Imagine getting a kid, making him grow the hate for the Wolverines, and then telling him, hey, we're going to rest you this game because we need you for the playoffs.
We're going to put in gonna be like, some of the backups. Yeah.
It's just it will be a different vibe, and I don't think fans is ready for that.
No, I don't think so either. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Hey, it's Timmy Hall.
And then Timmy.
Every single urinal you've ever looked at has like 65 pubes.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on the Fan. It's sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company.
This is the best of T-Bone and Tyvus. The second best way to wake up. The best way is someone yanking on your...
The best of T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
I have a ethics and morality question regarding food for you guys.
Oh, good. That's what I like to think about when I eat is ethics and morality as I'm biting into a cheeseburger.
When the weather's really bad, like level 3 bad,
mm-hmm.
and you're hungry,
uh-huh.
will you still get a pizza delivered?
No. I won't. I don't like to do that. I feel like that. Or DoorDash.
Yes.
Like, I mean...
Yeah, you just tip them better.
DoorDash is a little different because those people are essentially choosing to work at the time.
Oh, well,
pizza delivery guy, your shift, you didn't know what the weather was going to be like. That's why I said pizza delivery guy. But is it unethical to make the 19-year-old drive his, 99 Honda Civic to your house and hope he survives? That's my question.
Yeah, because I mean,
unethical. Yes, should you absolutely do it? Yes.
I think we need to have a rediscovery of what the word ethics means.
Oh, I know what it means.
It's unethical. Does not mean you should absolutely do it.
Do it.
I mean, look,
it's wrong to do it. It is, but do it.
If you have mouths to feed other than your own, you got a family, you got kids, and you have literally no food in the house, then okay, order some food in. But no, if you have food in your house and it's dangerous out there for people, yeah, I don't want to be causing someone to drive off the road just to bring me like, well, I wasn't in the mood for the crackers and the cereal and the, bread and peanut butter, whatever else you have in your house. I don't know what you keep at your house, like the dry goods that you just normally always have in a pantry or a fridge, whatever. Like, I'm not going to make someone risk life and limb to come bring me the specific taste I want that day, like a pizza, as much as I love pizza. No, I wouldn't do that. Would you do that, Dylan?
I used to, but then someone presented this argument to me and I was like, yeah, it's really messed up. You should probably not do it. If you're not willing to go out and drive yourself, you should not make somebody else do it.
This is the thing. Like, I really want to know, Tyvus, where, like, your ethical argument. Have you ever done those philosophy arguments where it's like you're standing at a train stop. There's a switch in front of you that will switch it from one track to the other. And it's like, if you switch the train, it's running away. It can't be stopped. And if you let it go one way, it's headed towards a town and it could kill like thousands of people because it has like explosive stuff on it or whatever. Or you could divert it away from the town where it would avoid killing thousands of people, but it will run over like five people. Definitely. Like, it's a definite death over here, or like possibly thousands of deaths over there.
Let's go with the possibly.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying. That's like the ethical dilemma, right? It's like you, and then they change the little inputs on that to see like, and it's really messed up. You start going down those roads of like, what would you actually do? What would you do for society?
I mean, what would you do? That was easy. Once guaranteed, that was a possibility.
Yeah, but it could be like, you never know. It could explode with like a school full of children. And then it's like, now you're responsible because you pull the lever. Or you like send five people.
What are you, the Joker off of Dark Knight?
That's like philosophy classes. That's what the questions you have to write about. You have to think about, like, where are you going to go with this? What are you going to do? It's very tough.
Do they realize that people are like serial killers out of there?
I think that's part of what it is. I don't know when, you know, it depends on what everybody did when they went to college, but maybe when Gronk went to Arizona State, wasn't that where, or did he go to Arizona or Arizona State? One of the Arizonas. Yeah, Arizona, right. Well, he could have been a Buckeye, as you know. He took a recruiting visit to Ohio State. He was talking about that recruiting visit, and I thought this audio was quite enjoyable.
I think it was right after my season in high school, so I'm you know, freelancing. I don't have to worry about getting back and being on point. So my two very good friends, they went to The Ohio State University, and they're a year older than me, so they were already in college. So I was like, oh, perfect. I'm going to take a visit to Ohio State and go out with my buddies the night before and then go to the game. And we go out to like 2, 3 a.m. to some frat houses playing beer pong, all that good stuff. I'll just say I was drinking water because I was only 18 years old at the time. So it was just water, but right. I was feeling good off the water.
Yeah.
And we were walking down the street. I think we got in two fights as well. We threw a couple haymakers. Yeah.
Wow.
My friend was getting demolished. I came over and cleaned this guy up. And then I was almost, you know, getting demolished as well. He came back and cleaned them up for me. So we had a little brawl, you know, as well, which was fun. That's the whole, you know, point of these visits as well.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. That's
recruiting visits
at Ohio State.
Get into. And this was before the cameras. This was right before. So I'm glad I like got it out of my system.
Yeah.
All that good stuff like that. So, and then wake up and I'm feeling like a disaster. Go to the game. And someone takes a picture of me looking like that. So all that water that I drank got me feeling like that. And then next thing you know, the picture just took off and went all over the internet after I made it big in the NFL. It didn't go big until after I made it, you know. So
I mean, this is a phenomenal photo.
That's the background behind that picture.
That is the Jeff Swoboda picture.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, they recreated that this year, but
he was drinking and fighting.
Drinking water, he said. Just drinking water, yeah. Allegedly. Now, what was your recruiting visit like? Because I hear that story and I wonder, I'm sure your recruiting visit wasn't like that, but I don't know that I really know what your recruiting visit was like when you came to Ohio State.
So, you know, if you know me, since I was in the 11th grade, I've always worked out at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Hmm.
When you work out at 6 a.m., that means you go to sleep pretty early, right?
Yeah.
So I take my recruiting visit down Ohio State, and I knew a couple of the guys, you know, from social media and stuff like that. We connected on social media, been talking and blah, blah, blah.
Can you say who you knew?
I knew Frank at Petropolis. I knew Devin Bogart. I knew Najee Murray.
Okay.
So I knew those guys. And I knew Josh Perry.
Oh, there you go.
So on the official visit, the first guy that I meet, like in person, is Josh Perry. We meet inside we're in the stadium and we look up. I was like, man, we going to get a championship here. He's like, yeah, let's do it. So that's what made that one cool. Me and Josh actually had that conversation.
That is cool.
And we actually got to live it. So that was cool. But anyways, you know, you have you have dinner, you have your orientation, you know, they take you around to different parts of colleges. I said I wanted to go into business, so they like took me to the Fisher College of Business over there. I got to see what that was like. You meet with the coaches and stuff. Then you have a dinner. And then after the dinner, it's like, all right, you go out with the players. So the players is like, yep, we're going out tonight, blah, 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 blah. I was sitting in the dorm. I was sitting in the chair in the dorm, getting ready, like ready to go. And I closed my eyes. I never made it out, T-Bone.
What do you mean?
They left me because I was knocked out.
You fell asleep?
Oh, my gosh. I was gone. I sat there, and Ricky Tan was the person that was hosting me.
Yeah.
I said, Ryan, why you didn't wake me up?
So wait, they're trying to convince you to come to Ohio State.
I was already committed at the time. You were on your visit.
And they want to make sure that, you know.
And it was like, when we sit there, it was like Duran, Ryan, all of them. We saw sitting Curtis. It was all there. And I'm sitting there like, all right. It's like, yeah, we're going to leave in about 45 minutes. All right, cool. So I'm sitting in the chair and I just put their head back. And next thing I know, I was asleep.
So when did you wake up?
And they went out without me. They went out without me.
Yes, but then
I said, Ryan. He says, you were asleep so good. I ain't want to stop. I ain't want to interrupt you.
All right. But let me ask, then you wake up to what? Like a darkened dorm room with no one in it?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
And then what did you just go back to sleep?
I went back.
So this is presumably where you were staying for the night, was in this dorm room?
Pretty much.
Okay.
That was how I went.
God, that is
Tyus and Gronk, two totally different
opposite ends.
Yeah, I feel like Gronk, I'm going to guess Gronk probably at some point also passed out, but not for the same reason. Not because he was.
I like Gronk. I don't drink, so.
Well, yeah, I know.
That's water. Well, I drink water, but I don't think he had some vodka and just
playing
water.
Pong? Play any beer pong?
So when I used to go out in college and we played pong, everybody knew that I didn't drink, so they let me use water.
Oh, see, okay, but you play.
And then I did flip cup with water. It was some good people out there. They let me play the game.
I mean this with all respect and love. I appreciate your life choices, but what a dork.
Hey, let me use the water. I was like, this flip cup is easy. I said, Tyus,
because you're not drinking.
Yeah, that's the whole
point. You are such a nerd. I love you, buddy. That's hilarious, but that's so nerdy.
T-Bone and Tyus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Buckeye Show.
Oh, I looked good.
Yeah, I know. I bet you did.
I was born to throw an NFL ball. I just didn't get the opportunity.
You see that mountain over there? I can throw a pigskin court.
The Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by CareSource.
Weeknights at 6 on The Fan. You're listening to the best of T-Bone and Tyus, broadcasting from the intersection of stupidity.
I am so stupid.
And gluttony. The Fan.
Tyus, people in the chat and on Twitter are saying that, about the possibility of you committing crime. That came up in the last segment. Meat Sweat says,
This is what Meat Sweat says.
He says, you guys don't have to worry. Tyus will just end up doing something in Cardale's Tesla. Flee the scene and Cardale will take the fall. Tyus will be in the next morning like nothing happened, saying it's a shame it happened to my buddy. So see, they'll be like, who's this car registered to? Tyus Powell, Cardale Jones. And then he'll be the prime suspect, not you. That's true.
That's fair. That is fair. I wouldn't do him like that. Yeah, first of all, it's so crazy because I was sitting there, I was like a couple years ago, I was talking to my friends and I was like, if you heard me commit a crime, like if it just popped up on your phone, Tyus Powell committed a crime, what do you think it would be for?
What did they say?
Nobody really has a good answer. Because
I have one. Assault.
Assault?
Why would I do that?
Yes. One day Tyus is just going to crack.
You sound the like counterman.
The wrong
person
is going to say the wrong thing. Tyus is going to give him hands.
This is exactly what Common Man thinks. The Common Man thinks because I'm so happy all the time, that you're eventually very, I'm just going to snap and just like, I don't know.
Your emotions are very regulated. Well, I like how you giggled when you said mass killing spree. I don't know that that's what I would be.
What are you saying?
I don't know if I would be rooting for that. I just, yeah, look, here's the thing. I think that if I had to pick like a crime that you would be involved in, I know that, like, let's say something came across, Tyvus Powell commits a crime, whatever it is. What I know is I would call you and say, Tyvus, what happened? And you, the first words out of your mouth would be like, here's the thing. And I know that that's, I can just picture you saying like, so here's the thing. Cause that is the Tyvus Powell line whenever it's like, hey, that doesn't look good. There's always like, well, all right, here's the reason.
I would tell you, let me call you back from a payphone.
Yeah, that's actually a good call.
Let me call you.
Where are those? Do we have payphones anymore?
I wonder if it is a payphone.
I don't even know.
Get you a quarter. I'll be in there like, y'all got change for a dollar. I need a quarter.
I went to a concert a few months ago, and the bar that I went to was not in Columbus. It was in West Virginia, but they had a booth, like a phone booth, and it had stickers all on the inside from all the bands that had played at this venue, and they had a phone in there, and I didn't pick up the receiver to see if I could it work.
Got to dial down the center. Free call.
You're telling me this? I grew up in collect call era. I grew up in you have to find a phone at the mall to call your parents and call them collect. Yeah.
Come get me. I'm ready.
Yeah. The we you out have of a baby call from.
Come get me. I'm ready.
Yes, exactly. Exactly right, buddy. You know it. Hey, by the way, we do breakfast here. You order breakfast a lot, Tyvus.
Whoa.
You do?
Whoa.
What are you saying? That's whoa. Real.
Because I don't like the way you said it. Like
you order breakfast.
Factually.
breakfast a lot. However.
I order Dylan some, too.
That's fine. But you don't order it just for him. You order it for you and often him. Now, I saw something for those because, you know, you order that when you have to drive to Cleveland, when you've had to go other places and you've had other stuff to do. You get a little breakfast in before you have
a little sneaky
the rest of your travels. Well, Pop-Tarts may have something for you because this is something that Pop-Tarts fans have had a long time issue with and they're finally addressing it. I love a Pop-Tart. Do you like a Pop-Tart? Are you good with Pop-Tarts, first of all,
before
we get here? Okay.
Yeah.
One of the complaints that people have had about Pop-Tarts, though, and I've had this complaint, is there's not enough stuff in the middle. Could get a little bit more of the frosting, the inner filling.
I've never in my life said that one time.
Never?
Never.
You've never thought, I think they've actually taken it down a bit over the years. I think it was when I was a kid.
What kind are you getting?
I'm getting a regular Pop-Tart.
What flavor?
Oh, well, I mean, I get the cinnamon the cinnamon sugar one. I get that's the go-to. That one and the strawberry with the frosting on top.
Yeah, there's another.
Those two.
Those are totally fine with the stuff in the middle.
I could use more. Well, good news.
That's sad.
Pop-Tarts has created the super stuffed version of Pop-Tarts now. They're going to be hitting stores, they say, with 50% more filling than the regular one. They are so full of flavor, Tyvus, that when you buy the box of Pop-Tarts, you know how it usually comes two of them in a pack, and you get, what, three packs, I think, in the box? Or do you get four?
You get I think it's four.
You get four? Yeah, okay. Well,
the little box is four.
Yeah, the little box, and then the bigger box is what? 12?
12?
Maybe? Yeah, I think it's, yeah, whatever. Anyway, the point is, the regular Pop-Tarts, now, when you get the super stuffed, it's five individually wrapped Pop-Tarts. Because they're so full of flavor. 50% more. I'm sure they will charge you an arm and a leg for these. However,
are you going to buy it?
Oh, of course. What do you think? We're going to have them in here. You know we're going to have them in here. We're going to do something with them, too. That's what's going to happen. Don't do any research. Because we will have this on the show. They say they're hitting stores in April. When I find one, I'm getting it for the show. Because we will have them. But here are the varieties. They have a cinnamon sugar, although they call it cinnamon caramel, which I'm sure is delicious. But why not make the regular cinnamon sugar? Like, start there. That's the That one and the strawberry are the basic ones to me. Those are the first two you go with. They are doing the strawberry frosted ones as the super stuff. The third one is going to be the all chocolate, where it's like chocolate pastry, chocolate frosting on top, chocolate in the middle. I'm not usually a fan of that one. It's a little too much chocolate for me, but yeah. I'll eat it because it's going to be super stuff. So we're going to try all these on the show.
You got to do it for research purposes.
I will do it for research purposes. A little work and a little pleasure, Tyvus.
If you're gonna, if I just so happen to miss, like you give me the price and I miss it,
yeah.
Will we have toasters in here?
There's, I think, is there a toaster? There's a toaster out there. Yeah,
there's a toaster out there.
Yeah, I just, I think someone's brought one in.
Yeah, I think I smell burned toast every once in a while.
That's because you're having a heart attack, Dylan. That's a sign. That's actually, yeah. They say if you smell burnt toast,
well, I was going to say that last flavor you mentioned sounded delicious because there is no such thing as too much chocolate to me.
All right, fair enough. I don't even know that I agree with the statement. Too much chocolate. It's just sometimes. Sometimes I'm in the mood for like chocolate. Combined with like a peanut butter or like
little jungle fever.
I don't even know what I'm supposed to do with that. I guess I don't know what's supposed to happen there. I'm just gonna leave that alone. Oh, that's what's gonna happen. Okay.
But I'm not sure about this, Bone, because I thought when Oreo came out with mega stuff, I thought there's no way this could miss. I was a big double stuff guy.
Yeah.
Mega stuff is too much filling.
Lies. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
You can't even taste the cookie anymore.
Yes.
It's Dylan, too much.
No, there's nothing wrong with the mega stuff.
I haven't had an Oreo in quite some time.
Okay. Well, guess what? Monday, we're gonna bring them in and see what we can do. Didn't they have one beyond mega stuffed?
No. Yes, and that's I didn't try it because I thought that the mega stuff was
that
too
one,
much.
Even that one, I was like, no, this is good. I could do this. I liked it a lot. Actually, my brother, this is a good time for me to mention very quickly, Brother Bone, my brother is a psychopath because we can probably share a story. Yes. All right. So my brother came over to my house one day. We had Oreos and we're just like, yeah, you know, whatever. There's some Oreos. There's just different stuff. And he's like, oh, cool, Oreos. We got them out for the kids. He grabs one, undoes the Oreo, twists it off, licks the icing, the frosting, whatever's in the middle of an Oreo, right? Yeah. Then proceeds to eat the bottom half of the Oreo with the top that he had just removed, threw it in the trash.
Excuse me?
He still eats it like a chow.
Well, I don't mind opening it and eating the frosting out of it, but then he only licked it and then he threw the whole thing in his mouth and ate that part, but then he discarded the top part that had no frosting on it, no icing, no filling. That went in the trash. And I just thought that's still good. It's cookie wafer.
Saving calories.
Oh, okay, you're eating an Oreo. Just don't eat an Oreo then if you want to save the calories. Save what are we calories. Talking about?
He likes his cookie to have the frosting on it. The filling on
instant. You know what? Go to jail Friday, Timmy, on Common Man.
Jail him.
That's a 5-year sentence right there for that. You don't open up an Oreo, throw half of it away.
I used to do that when I was a kid.
You threw away Oreo?
I used to open it. Eat the filling and then throw both sides away.
Oh, my God.
What?
That's a kid.
Now I want you to go to jail forever. We just talked about Tyvus may or may not commit crimes. Well, apparently he has been committing crimes when he was a child. That's fine.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Buckeye Show.
When Marvin left, it's like, he can't get better than what that was. And then Jeremiah Smith showed up on the scene. You're like, whoa, how does that happen? That's freakish.
The Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by CareSource.
Weeknights at 6 on The Fan. The Fan. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. It's the best of T-Bone and Tyvus. I know what you're thinking. This is so good you can't believe it's pre-recorded. But it is. So if a comment hits and we don't respond, that's why. The Fan.
Joining the program, a man who holds many titles, but the most important one is that he is Milani Joe Powell's godfather. Joshua Perry joins the program. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, Mike.
You've been doing afternoons too long.
By the way, Tyvus already has his like backpack on. Why don't you just go ahead and leave and let Joshua sit in the second chair.
Yeah, what's happening here? You
apparently have somewhere more important to be.
Well, I had this backpack on because Fish, old Fishy, was in here, and he was telling me that I have a purse. And I told him, no, this is a backpack. So I took it and clipped it, so it's a backpack. So I'm showing everybody this is my book bag.
So this is like you on the first day of school.
Correct.
You're showing off your book
bag. My new book bag.
What kind of book can you fit in there? Like a
thick track?
Like the little tracks they give you? When
one that's got length and girth.
I don't know about all that. To each their own. I guess you're right. There's a lot of different sizes.
And he is the only one I've ever met that can handle my junk.
Thank you. That's a different Hugh Freeze, my guy. Just always had a way with words, did old Hugh Freeze. JP, do you care to weigh in on the quarterback discussion we've been having today? We did our top five quarterbacks now in the NFL. And Tyvus, I think you had Josh Allen fifth?
Fifth.
Okay. Fifth! And I think I had him fifth or fourth. Dylan had him first.
Number one. Numero uno.
And so that's caused some debate among the YouTube chat and other places, and that has leaked over onto the show. Tyvus is obviously not saying that Josh Allen is bad, but not
exactly. No, somebody also said that Josh Allen is a healthier Lamar Jackson. So if I think Lamar is great, Josh Allen is better because he's available. Lamar is number four on my list. So good. Let's flip it. For his sake, good. Josh Allen's fourth, Lamar's fifth. Still not number one.
All right. So I'm more toward Tyvus when it comes to this than putting him at number one. And I was listening to the debate. I think you made all the salient points. For me, first off, like we judge a lot of these guys off of what they do in the postseason, their ability to win championships. And I get it. Some of the quarterbacks he's had to run into in the past, but this past year to me was like, it's served up to you on a silver platter and you still cannot take advantage of the championship opportunity that you had. And then to me, too many turnovers, a little bit too much hero ball. And some points, like, he's a phenomenal player to watch. There are a lot of tools, there are a lot of skills, but it feels like a lot of sizzle and not as much steak as I would prefer.
Yeah. Well, you say he had it on a silver platter, but that's because Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson weren't even sitting at the table.
Yes.
He
let a whole bunch of guys who weren't on the list, like, do it. And he didn't.
Thank you.
He should get criticized for making the playoffs when those other three guys didn't?
No, he should get criticized for being the number one quarterback in the NFL who is just unbelievable in the playoffs and not still find a way to lose to Bo Nix. That's why.
And Bo Naylor.
I love Bo Nix. And Bo Naylor, too.
If he loses to Bo, he probably will lose to Bo Naylor, too.
Yeah, that's right.
But he loses to Bo Nix. Like,
yeah.
Who's not even, who some people don't even consider top 15?
No, if you said that going into that, he would have to go through Bo Nix and Drake May would be like some of the guys that would provide resistance to him. Like that, not the guys who we named that are all like top five quarterbacks otherwise. Then I think, most people would say, oh, well, then this is going to be the year Josh Allen gets it done. And he didn't.
Put it to you this way. If this was the Chiefs, do you think Patrick Mahomes would have got through all of it?
He didn't make the playoffs, though.
I'm saying.
Maybe they should have made the playoffs. No,
what I'm saying is if this was the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes didn't have to play Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, do you think that the Chiefs will make the Super Bowl?
No, because they didn't even make the playoffs. So therefore, why am I going to guarantee that they would have won a playoff game against the Broncos?
This man's crazy.
That's fine.
This man's crazy.
I like the debate.
The guy, this is who actually, so let me get this right.
I have to figure this out
because I want to make sure that I'm hearing him correctly. The quarterback that's number one in his book, who Patrick Mahomes has beat every time they played in the playoffs. He wouldn't beat these guys?
Yeah, because his team wasn't good enough to make the playoffs. Okay. So why am I going to guarantee that they're going to win a playoff
I just want to point out, I had an epiphany a few weeks ago where I saw a therapist talking about how people who have ADHD and ADD love to argue. And I even told you, Tyvus, I was like, oh, this explains a lot about me because I can argue stuff for like 4 hours straight and then be like, let's go again. Like, I can argue. I love it. I love the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Tyvus, we got to get diagnosed is all I'm saying, because it's like, because we do a lot of rabbit trailing. We do a lot of like zigging and zagging. And now we're doing a lot of arguing about this. I like it. Dylan, maybe you too. I don't know. I'm just saying. We all like to argue on this show about pointless things.
Real quick. The last six games.
I got him. I'm not a therapist, but Dylan, I think we can. You got the Adderall subscription ready to go. The prescription and subscription, both. You got them right there waiting for you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Finish your last six games. Cowboys, Texans, Chargers, Titans, Broncos, Raiders. Lost all of them.
I don't understand.
There's only two playoff teams there.
I don't understand.
They could have made the playoffs if they were just better in the regular season. Because I think it's stupid that people are like, Josh Allen, he should have beat all these quarterbacks that he's superior to. That's because his peers didn't even make the playoffs.
That's what makes this so bad for Josh Allen.
That was the whole thing.
I think that's the part that you're missing.
I feel like we were preparing for the playoffs, and immediately I'm like the ESPN First Take guys. I'm just cooking up narratives, and I'm like, wow, the pressure's on Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Look at the path that he has.
Look at
and
that.
Then he tricked it off.
Yeah, absolutely. And his coach got fired up. Now,
and he's sitting here telling me that a quarterback that's didn't he go to three straight Super Bowls?
Who are we talking about?
Oh, Patrick Mahomes.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
You're telling me that if he was in Josh Allen's shoes this season, that he wouldn't have made it to another one?
I don't believe in ring culture.
That's ludicrous.
So you're bringing up that his teammates don't matter.
You're conning yourself.
Let's turn the page.
All I know is that if you missed any of this robust discussion, it's all available for you on the podcast brought to you by our friends at Capital Ford of Columbus. You can find it all by searching T-Bone and Tyvus on your favorite podcast app.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for the buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
I saw this study. It's showing the effects of teenage alcohol consumption.
Oh boy.
Like, not the effects, but how much of it has occurred. And apparently this is very good news. Family Studies asked this question to high schoolers every year since 1976 to now, so 50 years. Have you ever had any alcoholic beverage to drink more than just a few sips? That's the question they get asked. In 2026, the answer is 47% said yes. That's less than half. That's relatively speaking good, because that's the lowest it's been in 50 years. Going back to 1976, the number on that question was 92%. And I was going to say, I did not know.
Oh my God.
My parents' generation was that sloshed. Like, I had no idea. 92% of alcohol of kids in high school back in the 70s said, oh, yeah, I drink alcohol. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Snuck a beer.
No idea.
Snuck right. a little
I
beer.
I wasn't doing it.
No, me either. That's it for us. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.